Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello, I'm Harry Jones and welcome to the 105 Football Weekly, the podcast where we bring you the best interviews and debates from Cambridge 105 Radio's football shows over the past 7 days. In today's episode, you can hear from Ollie Slack from Wednesday's Cambridgeshire Football Show midweek, where he talks Cambridge United's new and improved plans for an all-new sustainable multi-use stadium. Here is Ollie talking about the new stadium and just going over a few bits and details.
The big news, obviously, sporting-wise this afternoon is surrounding Cambridge United. Yeah, for many of you, you probably already know, they've revealed new plans for a new stadium, which is proposed to be built just off the A14, Junction 35, the Stoke Quay roundabout. We'll talk about it a bit later on the Cambridgeshire Football Show. But Chief Executive Ian Mavis says the close proximity to the Abbey Ward, it's just a mile away from the old side, is crucial to allowing them to continue their work in the community.
As many people know, we've been looking at the idea of a new stadium for some time. The recent idea was to build around the stadium as the Abbey site. A new site became a possibility in discussion with Marshall and the County Council. So we worked with leading architects, KSS, to design what could be put there on a site close to the A14, which we think is actually more sustainable. I think When I look at all of the angles, this is in the flow of what politicians want and what landowners want. Marshall and County Council submitted their land to the call for sites. In that submission, they said that they'd like to include a new home for a community stadium for Cambridge United. So we have landowners who are supportive of this. It also fits with planning ideas to develop out to the east of Cambridge. And we are we're in the start of the middle of a planning process, which is about call for sites. And this land is in Greenbelt. It is subject to that call for sites concluding this land should be included within the planning envelope. But I think there's lots of reasons to say it should be. And if it is, this is a very good site for it. When you look at the Trumpington site, one of the things that wasn't quite right for it was it was moving us away from the Abbey. And this is a community club rooted in this area. This piece of land is less than a mile away. It's as close as you can get to the Abbey and build a football stadium. So it allows us to continue our work in the roots in this one of the poorest parts of Cambridge.
Harry, welcome again to the show. And your thoughts on the youth stadium plans? I'm sure you've seen them over the course of the day. What do you make of them? Look pretty snazzy.
Yeah, I know. I saw them on the Cambridge United Instagram earlier, and I think it looks great. It looks very modern, very futuristic. Obviously, the plans always do when you have a sort of like a graphic design. But I think it's really good. I mean, it has was it sustainable or something like that? Like a sustainable...
Yeah, solar panels potentially as well, with the option to store sort of electricity under the ground as well.
Yeah.
The park and ride. And
I think it'd be great. It's in a good location as well, that off the junction on the A14. I think that's a good location. It's very easily accessible straight off the A14 rather than going all the way down Newmarket Road to the current ground. So I think, yeah, it's good. I mean, anything that has to do with environmentally friendly, pro-environmental friendliness is good. So I think, yeah, it's exciting to see that the club are obviously looking in a forward direction and not looking to coast at the level that they are now. I mean, a future plan is always something positive for a club, so I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, just to mark your card in terms of how we're covering the news about the U stadium plan, the U chief executive Ian Maver will be speaking to Julian Clover, and you can hear that interview on Julian and Lucy's Sunday brunch show this coming Sunday, so make sure you tune in to hear Ian delve into a bit more detail about the stadium. Tonight we'll be talking as much as we know already about the plans, the previous attempts to try and relocate the U's or redevelop the Abbey and what it means for fans. We'll speak to Matt Lockwood about it in just a bit, but Harry, from a fan's perspective, what do you reckon they'll be saying, the fans, when they hear the news? Because, you know, it's not beat around the bush. There has been a number of attempts to, as I said, sort of move away from the Abbey or change the Abbey over recent years, and it hasn't worked for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But how do you think that the fans will react to this news?
I don't think there's a way that you could be upset about the news. I'm not sure there's a negative to it. I mean, if you could maybe say that the nostalgic history, like you don't want to leave the Abbey, but at the same time, every club has to move with the times, and you can't think about one club that stayed exactly where they are for the past however long they've been a club together. Everybody changes. There's always time for change. Everyone goes through a development process, so you can't try and hold on to something that needs to change. And
yeah,
this obviously has been a long time coming, because the failed plans that have happened previously is obviously shown that the club wants to develop. And if the club wants to develop and now there's like serious plans going through with it, you can't argue with it. And I feel like there's no way that you could possibly argue with it. I mean, it's easier to get to what will be when it's made, so I'm not sure how there is a negative. Maybe the fact that it's not near McDonald's anymore.
I did see someone on social media as well say there's no pub en route. There you go. I'm sure they'll be drinking facilities.
Take a stop in Bottisham or somewhere, something like that.
I'm sure they'll be drinking facilities at the ground. That,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure you can drink at football match anymore. I might be wrong. Don't record that for me. Not entirely sure, but I'm sure there'll be plenty of beverages available at the new ground. Right, Matt Locke will join us on the phone now to talk about the ground, of course. Our usual use expert. When talking about United, Matt, what are your thoughts on the new ground? What was the first thoughts in your head when you saw the pictures and the quotes this morning?
Evening, Ollie. Well, surprised, really and truly, it has to be said. Surprised on where the location is. I thought it'd be a little bit more closer towards sort of Cambridge, near the sort of the Newmarket Road Park and Ride, just opposite it, or somewhere in those areas. So that was my thought when obviously they started discussing everything with marshals and the council and everything else. So a little bit of surprise that it's a little bit further out than what I thought. Secondly, I think one of the things when you look at it, and you look at a lot of football clubs right now, is the cost of the stadium. I think it's been quoted as a £35 million cost to build it and everything.
Yep.
And the one that has to be is, where is that money going to come from? Because unless we've got a pile of cash hidden away somewhere that absolutely nobody knows about, you know, it's going to be a hard find to find that kind of sum of money. And obviously the sale of the ground, nothing will probably go towards the football club unless, you know, the owners have got, you know, got plans to, you know, put money from when they sell the ground themselves into building this stadium, or part money into it as well. So it's a weird one, and I think one of the things to look at the moment is AFC Wimbledon, of course, who are moving from where they are now, and there's something come out recently, you know, that they're financially struggling with the cost of their new ground and everything, and their ideas of, you know, capacity and facilities and things like that, you know, they're going to have to sort of have a meeting about where they go as well, in terms of, you know, do they take a loan out? Do they, you know, have to find other terms of investment, or do they just have to sort of neuter what they want for, in terms of their ground as well? So, you know, there is positive, but as you know, with this football club, Ollie, there's always scepticism and a little bit of negativity around it. I mean, it would be good for the football club if it all comes to fruition, but, you know, I think there's a lot more questions that, you know, need to be answered first. And, of course, you know, time scale is going to be a massive thing as well, because at the end of the day, you know, we want a stadium fit for purpose as soon as possible, and we know what the Cambridge Council can be like, and that they haven't exactly been fond of us in the past. So, you know, who's to say that they might come, you know, be on our side this time? So, yeah, it's an interesting one. You know, it's still positive news, but you know, I think there's a little bit of negativity around it as well.
Mm-hmm. Let's, before we sort of delve into the detail of it, in terms of how you think the fans will receive the news, Matt, because, you know, there has been a number of attempts, like I said, to move and move on from the current Abbey Stadium in the past. There was back in 2013, the Trumpington Stadium plan was squashed, really, and that never really got going, because it was built on Greenbelt land, and the Cambridge City and South Cambs District Councils opposed that. Then there was the application to redevelop the Abbey and just have the Sporting Village in Trumpington, but that planning application was withdrawn in 2017. Ian Maver has then come out today and said that redeveloping the Abbey would not be really convenient for the use, considering there's a 40% you have to build affordable housing round the edge of the ground, and 40% it has to be affordable of the new housing around the ground. There's a height restriction as well, and there's a bit of a funding gap, meaning they can't around £20 million, which means they can't then redevelop the Abbey. So this looks to be the favourite option. But like I've gone through the list there of previous schemes, Matt, so why will fans believe that this one is the one that will eventually see them move into a nice new shiny stadium?
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head, really, Ollie, because as you say, you know, we've had two previous proposals rejected by the council before, and looking at them, the one over at Trumperton probably would have been one of the more better options for the football club at the time. So as I say, I think it will be seen with a lot of scepticism by United fans because of previous failures, and of course as you say about affordable housing being around the Abbey and things like this, it does put a question mark in terms of what do people want out of it? What are the council going to get out of us moving sort of a little bit further down the road? And of course, it will be outside of Cambridge rather than sort of in Cambridge. We are Cambridge United Football Club, of course, and a football club playing outside the city or the town. I mean, you've only got to look at Colchester, for instance. And
does that concern you, Matt?
It does a little, mate. Yeah, it does. I mean, Colchester have obviously got very good facilities there, and they've got a very good team right now. But you have to look at their outside commercial activities that kind of bring more money in them rather than the football. If you look at their attendances, that for a team that have got a good side and are doing well in this league, attendances aren't particularly high. Is that going to happen with us? Well, only time will tell. Of course, we've got to have some success first, which we haven't had for a while. So, it could change one way or the other. And Northampton as well, if you just look at that. They've just built a nice new stand, but they've had all sorts of issues and problems with that as well. And I don't think they're getting any more of a crowd boost than before. So, I think there will be concerns by the fans, the fact that we are outside of the city. And, there's a lot of reliance on, obviously, the A14 coming off there, the park and ride being improved, and this metro link, which, unless it gets built and everything, it's still a pie in the sky sort of type of idea. Sorry, Ollie. So there's a lot of things around in terms of travel that, this football ground is being reliant on in terms of success as well.
Yeah, I guess the interesting point is, like you say, that the metro and the park and ride as well. In terms of previous proposals, Matt, this seems to have a lot more going for it. In terms of that, the metro system and the park and ride, there are more sort of branches attached to it that will mean that it's got a likely chance of being passed. So the metro needs a stop towards Cambridge East, and Cambridge United Football Club can provide that. The park and ride then, moving it closer to United, it makes sense moving it then, as it's easy access to the stadium and its facilities. So I guess when you're putting the case forward for this stadium, it's a lot. I think Ian may have used the example of you've got to bake a cake to sell it, in that the U's are putting forward a lot more healthier proposal than they have done in the past. That's what it seems to be anyway.
Yeah, and it's good that they have looked into things like this as well, which I think at times the club have been accused of not doing. Kind of a case of that they've just relied on people just, it will be fine, we'll have this, that and the other available. It will be part and parcel rather than outlining exactly what they're going to do. So, it is good that they've put it in and included it into the plans. Of course, again, there's a massive scope for it to actually be, born into fruition. We need the council to back it, which is what they're obviously hoping for. And, the park and ride, the Newmarket Road one, is obviously taking a lot of pressure now with the ice rink, being in and around it, which is also good. And I know at times that they've had used fans being able to park there. So at the Newmarket Road, and then offer a park and ride drive bus down to the ground. So, they have had options. They are looking at it well. So it is good to see, but you know, at the end of the day, they've now got to go out and deliver and get the, you know, the acceptance that they need.
The winter weather is catching up on you, Matt, clearly. In terms of the potential pitfalls with the proposal, what do you see as the immediate sort of factors in your head that could mean it falls down? Obviously, like you mentioned at the top of the show, in terms of funding, there isn't sort of funding been announced yet in terms of how they'll be able to get that funding. Ian Mavis said, though, that he's hoping some will come in and back the design. Obviously, if they put a decent proposal together, and that's what he's hoping for. But the million-dollar question is how will they raise this money to try and build the stadium of $35 million?
Yeah, well, and I think that's the biggest question, isn't it? We're not flush with cash. So is it going to be sort of, you know, sponsorship in terms of, you know, areas of the ground being named under companies? Is it going to have to be loans, which obviously, you know, is an absolutely dangerous situation to get into? And I don't think the football club can get into that. I'm pretty sure that the landlords of our football ground now have got to pay a portion of the ground. You know, they've got to offer us a facility or find us a facility to play elsewhere before we can move. And, you know, they can do whatever they want to do with houses and flats, etc. So, you know, potentially that there's a revenue there, an outlet there, you know, in that they put up some of the money for it as well. But yeah, you're right, the finance is going to be the massive matter for the club like AFC Wimbledon that, you know, have got a pretty decent fan base and are in a half-decent area of London in terms of, you know, they can get London prices for their ground and facilities, and they're struggling to fulfil their new stadium. You know, there's always going to be issues and questions asked around ours. So, you know, it's going to be interesting going forward about where the U's board are looking in terms of financing. Is Paul Barry himself, like he said, he's going to underwrite costs. I mean, I can't imagine him underwriting £35 million worth of costs, because that would be fantastic. But, you know, is he himself as a, you know, sole owner now going to be putting in money? Are the board of directors going to be putting in a bit of money? It'll be interesting to see. Obviously, having a long-standing sort of sponsorship deal with Mick George, I imagine that they'd want a piece of going into this stadium as well. You know, will that help us one way or the other? We don't know. So I think, yeah, there's still a lot of questions that have to be asked. It'll be interesting to see what happens, obviously, tomorrow at the Q&A session that they're doing in the evening, you know, about, you know, the stadium, and obviously, hopefully, a few more answers will come from there. So, yeah, you know, the cost is always going to be the biggest issue. And, you know, that's something that, you know, fans are going to be more concerned about as well than anything. So, interesting times, Ollie. Cambridge 105
Radio. That was the Cambridgeshire Football Show midweek with Ollie Slack and myself from 6 p.m. on a Wednesday. Yeah, just to build on what Ollie and myself were sort of debating about, the club have been working with the property consultants and the club partner Stace, who were also involved in the Tottenham Hotspur's new stadium development, which everybody knows was a blinding success in terms of the look and the aesthetics and everything. So that's always promising. And they've also been working with the world-leading architect KSS just to develop a sort of suitable concept design that fits Cambridge and the culture. The brief that they were given was sustainable design for a sustainable location with multi-use purpose beyond just football, such as concerts, conferences, extended community activities, medical centres, and they just wanted a design that fitted Cambridge as a place with a 12,000 person capacity, which is fantastic for Cambridge at the minute and where they're at. The possibility has been established on the land, including in Marshall's and the County Council's call for sites. So that will be the land that's just situated just off of the Junction 35 at the Quay roundabout on the A14. So yeah, it's really going to be exciting to see how everything progresses forward. Next up, we'll be joined by Tim Armitage from the Terraces last Sunday from 6, and he was joined by Lance Key, Histon's manager.
Hey Lance, how you doing? Hi, Tim, you all right?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. So back to, well, let's talk about the Cup game, obviously, first of all. 2-0 win, a good game by all accounts. Again, goalkeepers making great saves, but not to be, not a repeat of the 4-1, but this time a loss of 2-0. How do you feel it went?
If I'm honest, Jim, I think, you know, we could have been there till the following Tuesday and wouldn't have scored the way it was going. Obviously, the Cambridge City goalkeeper had one of those nights, the first 45 especially, where everything you threw at him, he dealt with. He made three or four very good saves. We bombarded their area for the first half and just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. And, you know, we said, actually, ironically, yesterday, our game at Canby, we said that Cambridge City scored goals at the right times. And we actually did that yesterday away at Canby. But the Tuesday night, we weren't disheartened by it because the performance was very good. It was just a case that we couldn't, you know, get our just rewards for the effort we put in on Tuesday night, you know, and Cambridge City were more clinical than what we were and end up winning the game 2-0. And, you know, that's just the way it should be at times. You know, it's very difficult, you know, when you've got teams that are like those, that, you know, it's a local derby as such, and, you know, we couldn't really, you know, put the final nail in the coffin, if you like, and it was very difficult for us on the night to take that we lost the game 2-0, but that is football, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, there are games like that where whatever you do, I mean, with the goalkeeping performance that was put up as well, that those goals just sometimes don't come. But they certainly did, as you say, on Saturday, Canvey Island away. Not the best of travels down there, but a 3-0 win. And getting, as you say, getting goals sort of mid first half put you in a good position.
Yeah, I mean, we'd obviously had them watched and we knew what their weakness was, and we played on that first 25-30 minutes. We put it in behind their right side of seven and a half and their right back, and it paid dividends. We were probably in at least two or three times before we got the penalty, and it was always Dan Brown that was the willing runner. Got beyond him, got brought down in the penalty spot, penalty area, and Max York, you know, duly took the penalty with aplomb. We then scored pretty much again, like you say, good times to score. We scored probably 5 minutes after that to really bolster our lead. And then Canby had a lot of possession, but didn't do a great deal with it. And then second half, we come out and we actually scored within the first 5 minutes. And like I say, scoring goals at good times can help you sometimes. And we certainly did that yesterday.
And I guess the most pleasing thing, I mean, two pleasing things out of it, obviously a clean sheet, but secondly, to get some goals in the run-up to the end of 2019. You've got three games left now. You've got Bury, who are currently first. You've got Coggeshall, who are currently third. And then you get to play City again on the Boxing Day game, which is going to be a great spectacle, I think, for those fans that go there.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, you know, we've got a tough run of games, and, you know, if we get to grips with what we've got right now and we can continue in the feign of form that we're having at the moment, you know, we're hard to beat, and we've said this, you know, I've said this to you before, that if we stay in the game, we then are hard to beat. And I think, you know, we've done that over the last month, and that's the really pleasing thing, that we've been able to do that and actually make teams, you know, if they're going to win it, they've got to win it, you know, the hard way. We haven't been giving them games like we had against, like, Romford and Tilbury. And I think that's the most pleasing thing right now, that we're actually competitive in games and we're making it hard work for teams. And obviously, yesterday, we put a valiant display in, albeit with a depleted squad again. But it just shows you that the kids that come in are also good enough. And we gave a good account of ourselves yesterday. And actually, you know, 3-0 was probably a fair result.
And some good results, not just this season, obviously Maldon and Tiptree, the only team to take points off them, but also in previous seasons, games against Coggeshall and others, where you've done perhaps better than other people expected you to do in terms of the bigger games, given where you were at. But I guess other managers might be approaching these, certainly the you know, two of the three games with trepidation, but I guess you'll be looking forward to giving a good account of yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing, Tim, is we're not expected to win these games. You know, these teams have been in this league now for two or three years, if not more. You know, Coggeshall are big spenders. Bury Town have been in this league for a while now. You know, they came down probably, what, three or four years ago. They're expected to be up there. So there's more pressure on those to come to places like us now, whereas last year we were the you know, kind of the big hitters, if you like, in our league, and people wanted to beat us. It doesn't seem to be the same this year because, obviously, people's budgets are higher. and we've made an okay account of ourselves. You know, we've said all along, if we can stay mid-table and hang on to the coattails of the playoffs, then great. And going away to Canvey Island yesterday, 3-0. I mean, I had more texts from yesterday's result last night than I had all season, because Canvey Island once were a big side. And, you know, to go there and win 3-0 is huge credit to the squad.
That was Tim Armitage, joined by Lance Key on From the Terraces every Sunday from 6, so make sure to tune in. Hissing, they're currently 3 points off fourth place, but they have got 3 very hard games to wrap up 2019 for the rest of the year, 2 of which being against top 3 sides, so that'll be Coggeshall and Bury Town, who are actually top of the division, so it'll be really interesting to see how they get on against them two teams. And obviously the third to wrap up the year is the local derby against Cambridge City. So we will obviously keep you updated with everything there. And it'll be really interesting to see how Histon get on at the rest of the year and obviously prolonging to the end of the season. Finally, we move back to Ollie Slack now on the Cambridgeshire Football Show midweek for some chat about Cambridge City ladies.
Midfielder Hannah Bodley joins us on the phone now. Good evening, Hannah.
Hi, Ollie. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Thanks for coming on. Before we get cracking on this weekend, let's just talk about the season as a whole from your perspective. Obviously, like I said, 10th in the Division 1 South East, probably not where you'd want to be, but making this step up from the Eastern Region League as well. How have you felt that the season's gone personally for you so far?
Yeah, I mean, we always knew it was going to be a step up coming into the league above. Obviously, last season, you know, we had such a good season and everything we did, you know, went well, and we were winning, won everything pretty much. So obviously it was a great season last season, and we knew it was going to be a step up. Obviously, as you say, you know, we found it difficult, and we're trying to establish ourselves in that league. You know, on a personal note, it's more difficult. I've played at the level before when I was a lot younger. You know, we have a few players that have played at that level before. It's a lot more fast paced, and generally, you know, you can't make mistakes because you get punished at this level, whereas, you know, last season you could get away with, you know, a little bit more and you wouldn't be punished quite so quickly. But there's certainly no room for error this year.
What was the biggest difference between the regional league and the national league? It's something like you've said, you've played in the national league before, so you were probably one of the girls warning the other players or letting them know what the difference is. So what did you tell them at the start of the season?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we did sort of sit down and discuss the differences between the leagues, and I'd say the biggest difference for me is the fact that everyone is in the national league. Everyone is stronger. Everyone is more physical in the game, and being such a young team, that is something that, you know, we've come up against a little bit more. Also, obviously, as I say, everyone's a lot more clinical at this level. Make a mistake and you're punished for it straight away, whereas last year, you know, you could get away with a little bit more. It is what it is, and you know, we have to learn quickly at this level, otherwise it's going to cost us.
10th out of 12 so far.
Yeah.
I asked Becca whether it was a fair reflection on the form of the side a few weeks ago. You've had sort of bouts of parts of the season where you've done pretty well, you know, getting a point away at Wimbledon and then a decent win over Norwich as well. Had a bit of disruption with cup competitions here and there and fixtures being postponed. Do you feel 10th out of 12 is where you should sit in the league? Do you think there you can easily leapfrog other sides around you?
Yeah, I mean, I think, as I say, we're learning quickly, and we need to learn quickly, otherwise it is going to cost us. I think at the moment it is probably, you know, where we should be on performances, but we've not really reached our maximum at all yet. And, you know, I think we have a lot of potential in the squad. You know, we're a young squad, a lot of potential. And I think if we can reach our heights and, you know, sort of get used to the league and how it plays, then I think, you know, we can certainly push up the league. As you say, we had, you know, a few good results, and it gave us a bit of momentum. You know, as you say, the Stevenage game as well added to that, and we put in a good performance away at Ipswich, who are a good side. Even though we lost, you know, we played well, and it gave us a bit of confidence. But then the game against Basildon in the cup knocked us, and it lost our momentum a little bit. So we're trying to rebuild that, really, especially going into going into Christmas and training hard over Christmas break, so that we're ready for the new year.
And how many sides do you reckon will be in the sort of scrap at the bottom comes up April, May time when you're fighting around for points? I think Tim mentioned to me the other day he believes there'll be five, including Norwich, Stevenage, yourselves, Kent and United as well. Would you go along with that sort of similar?
Yeah, I think it's going to be those sorts of teams. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, by the end of January, one of them's maybe pulled a bit more clear. Hopefully, you know, it could be us getting a few results together and sort of beginning to climb up the table a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough. There's a lot of points up for grabs. Obviously, we have been fortunate in a way that we have played a lot of the top teams away already. We've played Ipswich away, Leighton Orient away, Wimbledon away. So, you know, we've still got those to play at home, where, you know, maybe we could grind out some results against some good teams. And then obviously, you know, we have the crucial games against teams around us, you know, Stevenage, Norwich, obviously Cambridge United and Kent, who three of those we still have to play at home. So,
yeah, and in terms of this weekend, last weekend was called off due to the pitch being frozen. Only one game in 4 weeks. Did you feel a little bit rusty, I guess, heading into this weekend against Actonians?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you do feel a bit rusty. You know, we want, you know, to get some momentum going and then to build on it. But obviously, you know, it has given us some time to regroup and train. You know, train on some different things and some things that we need to improve on, some areas of weaknesses. So it has given us, you know, a bit more of a prolonged period of time that we can work hard and as I say, regroup in preparation for the game against Actonians and beyond that. You know, so things that people might be carrying a few knocks and things like that throughout the season. So it has allowed that, you know, a few people to recover from things like that. But you know, we have to be ready for Actonians on Sunday and hopefully, because we've had a little bit of time to train and focus on this game, you know, we can grind out a result.
In terms of training, a bit of a change in the backroom staff. Darren Wood has left the first team duties. He's concentrating more on his job with the youth setup at City. Ollie Drake has come in and joined the coaching staff. How's that been?
Yeah, it's been good. I think, you know, we just needed someone, you know, something new to happen. Everyone was getting a bit, you know, frustrated and everyone wanted, you know, just some fresh ideas and that's all it was, you know. Darren was great for the club, and, you know, he still is the work he's doing for the younger teams, and, you know, we thank him for all his efforts. But, you know, as I say, something new, something different to come in and shake it up a little bit and give a new perspective on the areas that, you know, we need to improve on. And he has, you know, he's given everyone a little bit of a boost, new ideas, new things that we can work on and you know, small things in and around the changing room just to sort of lift everyone a little bit. And you know, we were disappointed with the result at Kent last weekend, which was the first game he was involved in. But, you know, again, it shows things that we need to continue to improve on and build on. And, you know, it gives us straight away, you know, he can see us in a game scenario and work well with Tim to iron out those faults. Cambridge 105 Radio.
That was Ollie Slack joined by Hannah Bodley on Wednesday's Cambridgeshire Football Show midweek. Yeah, they were having a chat about how City are getting on at the minute and all of their sort of recent results and everything that's going on within the club. And they were talking about the new coaching staff being brought in by City, and it's a well-known fact that a lot of clubs, after a new member of staff is appointed, the club just has a sort of freshness about it, and new ideas and new feedback is always healthy for a club. So I think the change that they've made there with the coaching staff, I think, is always one that will bring about a positive sort of energy within the club. So I think it's really, really good to see how they get on. Anyway, that is unfortunately all we have time for on the 105 Football Weekly on Cambridge 105 Radio. I have been Harry Jones, and tune in next week for another episode. Sports coverage will continue with the Cambridgeshire Football Show on Saturday from 12 p.m.
Cambridge 105 Radio.